shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show, and truth is our bitch, and like that. Our last show with Talk Radio Network is on the 24th, but we aren't going anywhere. We are going to be transitioning, and we will give you that information as it becomes propitious, as the sun comes up on a new day and the light begins to illuminate the land. We will gradually give you the information that you need to know where and how and when you can find the Phil Hendry Show. Now, Talk Radio Network has been our home for the last 7 years, and the opportunity afforded us has been tremendous. We are grateful for it. We move on with happy hearts. And if you will, please do check your radio press tomorrow, because we had a press release go out today that will appear tomorrow, and it will be in conjunction, but I think it'll probably be appearing at the same time TRN's press release appears. And essentially what we're saying is that we've elected not to pursue our relationship further with TRN because we've got a big digital platform, a big digital footprint that we're trying to manage. We're trying to do live theater. I'm telling you, man, you know, acting gigs and television and God knows what else. It's big, baby. It's getting bigger all the time.
That's what she said. See, I told you.
But not everything is that's what she said.
Yeah, but that was a pretty good time.
Yeah.
Just because it was a good time. So anyway, it's...
All right.
It's getting bigger by the second.
But, I mean, you don't want to say that's what she said.
No, you don't have to say that's what she's...
And so join us for what we've got in store. It's going to be fantastic. It'll be exciting, and we love you. By the way, our affiliates, those of you who are listening... we've got an email going out tomorrow to all of our affiliates. We are going to be addressing certain things with you. I'm sure you have questions. Where can we stay in business with you, Phil? You absolutely can. Yes, you can. And we will inform you as to how and when and where and what. Tomorrow will be a first of several emails you'll be getting from us on that topic. Anyway, welcome to the program. And by the way, Bud, you see what we've got there?
You've got a tile up.
Oh, yeah.
We have a tile that's rolling on Phil TV that says Phil will be starting at 9:15 p.m. Pacific. I think we've probably blown right past that one.
Well.
No, yes, we have. What do you mean, well? Yes, we have. We don't need to. So thank you very much, Bud. Anyway, welcome to the show, folks. What weird news we have had to contend with here over the last few days. And when I say we've had to contend with... It ain't nothing compared to what some people have had to literally deal with. Those three girls in Cleveland, that story has just captured the imagination of all concerned. And, of course, let's not forget this Jody Arias. And, Margaret, you have been watching that, right?
I have been, Phil, and I'd like our audience to know that we're all over that. I climbed all over... Well, I don't want to use those kinds of terms. Working on this show, I tend to use the terminology that Phil and Bud and Robert and... the rest of them use, so forgive me if I lapse into that, because you can understand that I'm surrounded by it.
Why don't you get to it?
Bud?
See, this is, and you tell me I can't even so much as just throw a jab.
No, I'd rather you not. Don't ever do that again, Bud, because...
Are you the person that... In any event...
Just go ahead, do it. Shut up, Bud.
In any event, I was watching the Jody, and again, this is the French. You can pronounce her name Arias, and to me, it sounds very pedestrian. It sounds cleaning woman-esque, and I think you know what I mean.
You talk about messing.
I didn't use that word. I'm just saying very pedestrian.
Okay, so if I say Arias...
Let's not beat that into the ground like we beat everything else around here and like... Certain things get beat after the show ends, if you know what I mean. If you take my meaning.
Yeah, we take your meaning.
Good. Now, the way you pronounce her last name is... His first name is Jody. The last name is Arias, or Arias. Now, I don't pronounce it strictly that way because of the juvenile mindset, but the strict French is Arias. And I'll just go ahead and preempt these two... Hairy ass, okay. Monkey sounds great.
I was going to do that.
Well, yes, you were.
No, I wasn't.
Well, Margaret, I mean, if they haven't done it, why would you...
In any event, Jody Arias, or if you will, Arias or Aria, has been found guilty, and she will cook as sure as God made green apples. And it is a little bit sad, because she's a lovely young woman. She has a rare beauty, I think. She could have been a model. She could have been an actress. She could have been anything she wanted to be. But instead, what she decided to do was carve a man up and leave him to die in a stinking shower stall someplace at God knows what time of the day or night. She could have had anything she wanted, and she decided to carve up a boyfriend because he didn't invite her to Cancun. Woo! That's bad.
Well, you know, I got to agree with you there, Margaret.
Well, I don't go woo. That almost blew my ears out.
I'm sorry?
You blew my ears out going woo.
I was emphasizing a point.
Yeah, it's going to blow his ears out.
Well, I don't care if I blow his ears out if you don't like it.
Okay, Robert, would you be quiet, please? So the point that you're making here, Margaret, I think is a very good point. This woman got her feelings hurt, and she felt marginalized, and she felt like anybody who is an insecure individual in a relationship to the point that they're so codependent, their very lifeblood, the very beating of their heart, the very intake of oxygen is dependent upon their relationship with this person. I mean, is that love? I don't know what that is. But there's a hell of a lot of it going around and has been going around for a long time. We can't make it on our own. We get a fantasy. I think we overly romanticize certain people. Maybe the person has a look or they have a style or they have a way of being that automatically hooks into certain securities and insecurities that people have. You know, and that's probably what happened with this Jody Arias and this young man, Travis Alexander. And when he said that he was going to take that other girl to Cancun...
That's what went on, and she decided to carve it up.
Well, yes, that's exactly... He said that, I'm going to Cancun. I'm sorry, was I... Who are you again? That's going to piss a girl off, though.
Wait a minute. He didn't say, who are you again?
No, he didn't say that. But that's essentially what you're doing. When you tell a woman who's in your life, even marginally, even a woman that you're seeing... Every other Tuesday, let's say. I don't know how these guys do this. I don't know how Mr. Alexander worked it. But let's say he's seeing this Jody Arias every other Tuesday or every Wednesday, every odd Thursday or something. She gets it in her mind that she is something special, where you and I both know that he could care. He wipes with her, if he even thought about her at all.
What do you mean wipe with her? That's pretty bad.
He wipes with... He hates her?
No, he doesn't. He loves to have sex with her. He loves to make love to her. But in terms of her being in his life, ain't gonna happen.
Okay, so she gets marginalized.
She gets marginalized because in her mind, she belongs in Cancun. Whereas the reality is, she doesn't belong anywhere near his house until he blows the dog whistle. Now, I feel I'm a woman, and I hate talking about women this way, but there's a lot of us who need to accept our place in a relationship.
Wow. Well, that'll get people pissed off.
I mean, that's pretty strong. That's a strong opinion.
Well, of course it is. That's what I specialize in. But I believe it.
You believe that there are some women who have to accept their position in a relationship, and for some women, it's waiting for him to blow the dog whistle.
Yes, figuratively speaking. In other words, there are some women that are going to be at his side. I was that for Frank. Frank blew the dog whistle for Darlene. You understand?
I don't know. Darlene is a real person.
No, she's my imaginary friend. Yes, she's a real person.
All right, so did he blow on a dog whistle?
No, he didn't. Are you listening to what I'm saying?
All right, so this is... But what you're saying is she's like the girlfriend that is... If I'm hearing you, Darlene was the girlfriend that Frank had tied up outside near a dog dish.
What are you laughing at?
Well, come on. I mean, that's what you're saying.
I'm not... Yes, that's what I'm saying, but I find it tragic.
But you were the dog that was, you know...
I'm not a dog, thank you, but if I were a dog, yes, I was the one that would be at Frank's feet. All right, I'll say licking my balls. Although that's not really applicable. I'll kill it.
Hey, watch it.
I swear to...
Ow! Watch it, will you? Don't you think he's going to laugh at that?
Laugh at what?
in Frank's life, Darlene was the girlfriend tied up outside at a dog dish.
I hope you go straight to the, go to the one that...
The devil?
I was going to say, go to the one that evacuates briquettes. I'm going to the toilet.
Make sure you don't evacuate no briquette. Because, ow!
Yeah.
All right, we'll be right back here, folks. I mean, it's funny to me. We're not supposed to laugh at this stuff. Margaret's talking about the Jodi Arias trial, or whatever the hell.
Jodi Arias.
It ain't Jodi Arias. Although it may be in a couple of weeks once she gets pitched into the bullpen. Oh! We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Oh! Welcome back here, folks. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. It's a beautiful world, but the ugly things that occur in it, beyond belief. And we're talking about today's verdict in the Jodi Arias trial. The woman convicted of murdering Travis Alexander, she got convicted of first-degree murder. She got convicted of first-degree murder, which means premeditated murder. And there is going to be now a phase of the trial starting tomorrow, which I believe is the phase determining the exact severity of this first-degree murder. In other words, and I forget the exact name they give it, but this will play heavily into whether or not this woman gets the death penalty. Jodi Arias has said she wants the death penalty. She doesn't want to spend her life in prison. She felt that she was going to be dead. That's why she says she made the statement that I will not be spending any time in jail. You've probably seen a very famous interview clip that she says, I won't be convicted. I don't know. I don't know how she made that square, but somehow in some people's minds she did. I mean, this woman, we keep using this word psychopath, and people probably think we overuse it, but no, we're not overusing it, because as I said, there is a higher percentage of the population that is psychopathic or sociopathic than has anorexia. In other words, we've got magazine articles and the cover of Rolling Stone and Time Magazine and, Fat Lady Weekly. And we got every kind of magazine and newspaper talking about anorexia as if it was an epidemic like the influenza epidemic. And there are fewer people with anorexia than are psychopaths. There's more of them. So I'm not overusing the word at all. You know, this comes up all the time in crime in America and all over the world. Individuals, no conscience. Oh, I can't have what I wanted to have? No, you may not. Well, then it's logical to me. It's almost like she's, you know, they're almost like Vulcans, you know, with one exception. There is a lot of emotion when they are actually committing the crime. That's where they feel. That's where a psychopath, a sadistic psychopath, feels when they're committing a crime. They generally can... This is going to sound really freaky, and I don't know if it's true for women. Some psychopaths actually get off while they're murdering people. I mean, they orgasm while they're murdering somebody. Some psychopaths are feeling intense rage. Some psychopaths are in an elated and almost a euphoric state of power. You know, it's probably not unlike what a manic or a person with a state of mania feels, like a bipolar person feels. And they go back and they relive sometimes the crime, because it reminds them of what they were feeling. That's why a lot of these people keep trophies. They can look at the trophy and it reminds them they can relive a little bit of the crime they committed. That's why they keep skulls. That's why they keep lockets of hair. That's why they keep jewelry. That's why they keep underwear. That's why Ted Bundy went back to the places where he committed his crimes, and I believe the corpses were still there.
No, don't... He didn't.
I don't know if he had sex with them, but he would go back and play with the remains.
Oh, man, what do you mean play with remains, man? Yeah, probably played soccer with a skull or something.
No, I don't know what he did. But he went back and played with the remains. That's what Bundy did. And there are other stories that are equally as gruesome, if not more. Some psychopaths are cannibals because they feel like cannibals of old, if they eat their victim, then the victim stays with them. They have complete power over that person. That's what they want to have. And that's, man, this is textbook psychopathy. This Jody, what's her ass? When she, you know, that almost should be her name.
Well, it rhymes with Ari at, well, no.
In any event, when she saw that he was going to Cancun with this other chick, that's not in the game plan, man. No. You're going to Cancun with me. You belong to me. Your life belongs to me. Well, I'm not going to, you know. Well, okay, then guess, well, then I'm going to kill you. Now, you and I, normal people, we get angry, we get hurt, we cry, we stomp up and down, we, you know, we go and get drunk. We do a lot of things, but we don't say, I think I'm going to kill somebody. You know, I'm going to go and I'm going to kill the person. But that's what she did. And what she did, she attacked the guy when he was at his most vulnerable in a shower with the three walls of a shower behind him as he was posing for pictures. That's what she was. That was the front that she created. Let me take some pictures of you, baby, while you're taking a shower. You're so hot looking. So she's taking pictures of this guy. And then she said, sit down. I want to take pictures of you while you're sitting down. And, you know,
Bates probably want to get a shot of his you-know-what.
Well, what? That doesn't make any difference.
Yeah. I mean, whatever the pretext was, he's sitting down. And that's when she reached for the knife, according to the scenario recreated by people in the know. And she hit him with the knife as he was sitting. And she's, you can imagine, she's going over and over again with this knife. She's got the camera in the right hand. She drops the camera, and that's where she claimed to the judge and to the court, well, you know, I dropped the camera by mistake and he attacked me. No, what she did is she dropped the camera because she needed to wield that knife. She starts hitting him with the knife. He pushes away. He gets up. He runs over to the sink because he's bleeding profusely. And if you think about it, it's almost like a natural reaction, because how many of us have been attacked by a knife-wielding person that we thought liked us? I don't think many of us, you know.
Well,
what?
I may have.
Well, have you?
No, but I can't. You can never say never.
Oh God, do you? You? I don't know, Bud, how you get out of bed in the morning and not just fall off the edge of a cliff or something. Where do you sleep at night? Do you sleep in a bed?
Yeah.
Where is it? Look, see. Oh my, you got to think about that.
Hold on. So now he gets up, he goes over to the sink, he's bleeding from the nose, it's just a horrible thing, and that's when she comes up from behind him and she starts savaging him again from behind. He turns around, he pushes her away again, he starts to try saving his life. He realizes, I'm in big trouble here. This chick, maybe he thought it was a mistake, maybe he thought it was an accident, maybe he thought she by mistake knifed him. You know, what's going to go through your mind when you see somebody, you know, a half an hour before you were making love to and suddenly she's thrusting a knife into you? So now he realizes, I got to get my ass out of here. I got to save my life. He turns. He begins to run. She catches up to him, because how fast can a guy run who is losing blood by the gallon? She begins thrusting that knife into his back. He drops to the floor. He rolls over to try to push her away one more time, but she's on him, and she is driving that thing into him and then goes around behind him as he lays there helpless on the floor, picks up his head, draws the knife across his throat, cuts his throat. Now, this is the action of a textbook psychopath. And when you look at her on TV and she's bawling like a baby and she's so pretty, and a lot of guys, boy, I'll tell you what, pal, if you think she's hot, go ahead. You can have a date with her. Good luck coming out of that one alive.
Well, she's not going to go and kill someone else.
She's got the taste of blood. She's got nothing to lose, you know. And they put on that act, and they look convincing, and that's why people say, no, not my Jody. No way did she, and I'm telling you, I know, if anybody ever says to you they know somebody really well, and take it from me, they could never do this, you're talking to a real schmuck. I'm telling you, you got to follow the evidence. I know that they love and they cherish their friends and they want to protect. And I know that they mean well, but I'm sorry. You just don't, you know, you can't take their word for it. And I'm looking at her on TV right now. She's, you know, pretty nice looking chick. She's got a great body.
Pretty good ass.
Nice ass. Well, I didn't mean.
Would you grow up?
Sorry. But she is. And she murdered this guy. And she murdered him in a way that I'll bet you nobody could have imagined. This poor guy, and that'll show you, a woman and a man, one-on-one, You know, there's very little. I wouldn't be taking anything for granted there. All right, we'll be back. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Chris Norton coming up next to talk about the dangers. This kind of a thing in terms of dating. We're not going to talk about this crime, but Mr. Norton, who is a longtime bachelor, runs Norton Explodes Entertainment Enterprises, as well as has a hand in the adult film industry. We'll be talking with us about this when we come back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Talk about it.
Right.
Well, what is he? This guy Norton really rubs me the wrong way.
Oh, wow.
Phil Hendry. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and we're online at philhendryshow.com. We're going to have Chris Norton of Norton Explodes Entertainment on to join us here. We're talking about, just like in the Casey Anthony case, although the Casey Anthony case was not about young singles per se, but it was about a young woman that wanted to live the life, and she had the responsibility of a baby. It was about a young woman that wanted to have something that she couldn't have, and decided, in my opinion, and the opinion of a lot of people that watched that trial, decided to utilize the, utilize the out or the option of just killing someone to have the freedom to do what they want to do. Chris Norton joins us. Tonight you are doing a party, I think, Chris. You're emceeing, but you're not on right now, right?
I'm not on right now, Mr. Henry, but probably about an hour and a half right now. It's... Smosey Wilson is a DJ over here at Nightlight, and this is a club over here in Mesa Beach. It's very close to the Rosie Falcone, what is where we usually hang out. That's a place that I thought I would probably be at, but I'm not right now.
Okay, that's fine, but you're not busy right now.
No, sir, I'm not.
Okay. Chris, as you look at this trial, the Jody Arias trial, and you look at the death of this young man, you're a single man, you're 28 years of age. You have been on our program before. You talk about you date a lot of women. Do you ever fear this kind of thing happening to you?
Well, you have to understand, I think, from my point of view, and it's a very specific point of view. My point of view is that, as you know, Mr. Henry, I am in the adult film industry, so I says it's sort of my business. Relationship is not, but says... is, and I'm involved in the producing and production of Cess films, and I've got one of the largest collections of Cess movies on the West Coast. So, I mean, it's sort of like when I'm dating a young woman, I already have Cess when I'm doing an adult film.
By the way, are you still a telemarketer?
Yes, sir, I am.
So the money that you make as an adult film actor...
Well, I don't. I'm not working as much as a lot of the other actors because I'm just getting started in it.
I see.
But what I was going to say is, when I go, I have sets during the day. So when I go out at night and I'm going out with a young lady and we're going to have cocktails, we may go to Rusty Pelican, which is one of my favorite places to go. We're going to have a cocktail. But the sets, if we get to it, and if I decide. We're going to get the cess that night. That's one thing. But if I decide we're not going to...
Why is that your decision, by the way?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I wish it wasn't. Believe me, I wish that it was not my decision. But the women that I go out with, and they almost always have already decided that they want cess.
So you either say yes or no to the sex?
That is correct, yes, sir. But what I was going to say was that when you have the cess, it has to be super cess, because I'm in a sexual situation during the making of the movie. At night, when I go out with a young lady, and, oh, this is my favorite song. Hold on for just a minute, Miss Herring. Yeah. 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 Hey, Billy. Hey, Biff. Hey, Biff. Go get another Cap Morgan. Yeah. All right. So when I go out with a young lady,
are you at the? Oh, you're not at the club.
No, I am at the club at the Nightlight.
You're not at Rusty Pelican.
No. This is a guy called a disco, but it is in Hermosa Beach.
Okay, so when you go out at night,
when I go out at night with a young lady, It's got to be super cess because I'm having regular cess in the day. If I'm in a adult film, if not, then the cess that we'll have at night can be more of a lesser level of cess. You understand what I'm saying?
All right, but it's not really, I understand what you're saying, but it's not really answering the question. You're pretty close to that DJ.
Hold on, I got to move. Hey, can you move over? Could you get your girlfriend to move? Hey, can you get your girl? Because she's taking up two of these stools, dude. Well, thank you. I'm sorry, Mr. Henry. There was a young lady who was sitting here, and she was pretty big, and she was taking up two stools. No, I'm just talking on the radio. On Phil Henry. Yeah, so I'm sorry, Mr. Henry.
All right, so let's talk about what I initially asked you. Do you fear a young woman? Have you ever had a relationship like this?
No, I have not, Mr. Henry. The reason is I've not had long-standing relationship. I never let any relationship that I'm in get to a point. I never let any young woman who is dating me and who is, you know, I'm providing accessible service for, I never allow her to get the idea in her head that she is my girlfriend or, you know, whatever she thinks. That's not going to happen because right now I'm all about my career and I'm all about my adult film business and Norton's Bloat. And that's what I'm all about. I go to Norton's Bloat. I go to the telemarketing. I go to Norton's Bloat.
Okay, but what you're basically saying is you don't get close to a girl long enough for her to assume she's anything.
That is absolutely correct. I don't mistreat them.
No, I know that, but she doesn't. So no woman has ever, even after just a few dates, has ever assumed I'm Chris's girl.
Some women have, but that is you turn that to advantage because what I do and what I can do is if there's a young lady who is like, you know, she doesn't take my command to, or no, I shouldn't say command, but she doesn't do what I told her to do, which is to go away from me as far as she can get, and she stays near me, then that is something that I will probably want to record because that's proof, you know, it's not proof, but it just shows how, and I don't mean to be egotistical, but it shows how hot, you know, how hot I am, and I can use that in my adult film industry.
Okay, you lost me.
Well, okay, I'm sorry. You're
saying that when you go out with a woman and she stalks you and she won't leave you alone, that's something you can put on your resume?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you think about it, because it shows, you know, the...
It shows the hot ability of him.
Yeah, I mean, the hot ability, I don't know...
What do you mean the hot ability?
Well, it shows that I am so hot. If you think about it, Mr. Henry, it shows that I'm so hot that a woman is all over me. Morning, noon, night, and I can go to a producer of adult film and say, you know, check this out. See, you know, you see that, you know, like this one girl, Gloria, I was telling you about, and she was following me, and she parked her car near the mailbox of this one house where they were doing an adult film production, and I said to the director, let's go check it out, and the nose of her Corvair, you could see just pass a, like a stone, mailbox and everything, and she's down there all, ooh, Chris. You know, and
well, you know, Mr. Norton, I got to tell you, you sound a little like you don't quite understand what's going on here, if you don't mind me saying. You sound young, and you're not young. You're 28, so you're approaching the age of 30. I mean, you're a man in the world, and I think you ought to know a little bit more about what's... I mean, I don't mean to tell you your business, but if you think that a woman who's obsessed and is stalking you is some kind of a resume-enhancing point, how do you know, and this goes back to my point, how do you know she's not going to try and kill you?
I don't, Mr. Henry. It's a good point. And I don't want to say nothing about nobody, you know, but let's just say a guy, if a guy is attacked and is murdered by a chick who is fairly hot looking, because I got a good look at this Jodi Arias, and she is a fairly hot looking she's fairly hot looking, and when you look at it, I mean her, you know, it's hot, and there's a variety of hot areas, you know, she's got the butt is good. I mean, I shouldn't say.
All right, I don't want to go through a whole point by point breakdown of the woman. She's an attractive woman.
Yeah, but she's put together, And I would say that if you have a woman who is fairly hot like that, and she's all over you, like, you know, she's all over you, like just oil on a coffee table, you know what I mean, Mr. Henry? You know what I mean, Mr. Henry?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I
know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah, oil on coffee. You mean she's all over you like white on rice?
Well, I didn't want to say, you know, white on rice. That's kind of boring. Everybody says that, but I mean, she's all over you like a smell would be.
Yeah, she's all over you like stink on you know what.
What?
All right, I get the idea.
Okay, so
you're saying that she is stalking you, she's following you, and she's, you quote unquote, hot like this Jody Arias. Then what?
Well, I think that you can safely say to anyone who is watching this chick following you, you could say, to check it out, look what's following me, and look at, and I don't want to be crude, Mr. Henry, but this is how men would speak to each other. You would say, check the butt on it, check the butt on it. And
all right, so while a woman is stalking you with a knife or a gun...
Well, I'm not saying with a knife or a gun.
Yeah, but that's what Mr. Henry's saying. She's stalking you with a knife and a gun. You're going to go, hey, check out the butt?
I don't know, man, if she's got a knife or a gun, you know? I don't know.
Well, that's the first thing you ought to figure out before you start checking out her butt or whatever else you're checking out, because obviously she's an attractive girl, dude. I don't think you have to go into a schematic chart and say to any guy passing by, hey, look, and let me explain how hot she is, because if she is armed and means to do you harm, don't you think that's something you should know?
Well, Mr. Henry, hold on. Hey, tell him, man, that's the wrong song. Is that Moby? It sounds like it'll make retards. We can't afford it, Jack. Hey, hold on, Mr. Henry. Can you hold on 2 seconds?
Yeah, go ahead. We're talking here with Chris Norton.
I'm telling you right now, that's retard making music. Because what it does is, when it goes do 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 do, it'll go into the brain, and it does stuff in brains that are not good. You know, like if your brain has a scar, then the do do do. I don't know. It makes a retard out of you. Okay, I'm back.
By the way, can I just say something?
Yes, sir.
That whole exchange you had with that guy about how that's, quote, retard-making music, can you get away from that?
Yeah, get me away from... Hey, JJ, I gotta move, man. You're playing some bad... Turn it down, man. Your music sucks on ice. Okay, is this better?
Yeah. I have to tell you that's the most ignorant thing I've ever heard.
I don't like this music. Are you talking about music?
No, I'm not talking about the music. I'm talking about you saying that was retard-making music.
Well, it is, Mr.
All right, it may be music that you think has a certain vibration or rhythm that will cause the electromagnetic impulses in the brain to go haywire, but we don't call that retard-making music.
Well, I don't know what you just said, you know.
But he's trying to tell you something, you idiot.
Hey, man, why don't you shut up? You
know, hold on for a minute. Bud, shut up. Now,
are you listening to this music right now? Because I don't want to say anything, but that guy Dickman, hey, dude, have you been listening to this music? Because you're all...
No, but I think you're listening to it.
No, I don't think so, man. You're the one that's going... Yeah, I think you're...
Hey, I'm going to tell you, Chris, I'm going to hang up on you if you don't shut up and listen to me, okay?
Yeah, fine.
All right, let's take a break.
You just told me to shut up, and now you're going...
Let's take a break. Thank you, Bud, for trying to defend me. I appreciate that.
Yeah, this guy's an idiot.
I appreciate it. I can handle it, though, okay? We'll be right back with Chris Norton and more on how hot it makes you look if a chick is stalking you and wants to kill you. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The
yeah,
Phil Henry
don't
Show.
Call it well, the guy's getting pissed off about it. You're going to have to find another thing to call it. And take that sign down.
Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back, world famous Phil Henry Show. Chris Norton joins us here from, I don't know where you are now, Chris.
I'm sorry, Mr. I was just using the restroom here. They still have that music on. You don't think I have them turn it down? You don't think it's going to cause... And I remember what you said, Mr. Henry, an epileptic fit or...
Epileptic? Yeah, that's what... No, I don't think so, okay? Is anybody reacting negatively?
No, not yet, but that's my concern, that there will be some kind of reaction that may be, you know, be a negativity, or there will be some kind of reaction that will be a negativity. I can't really...
I understand. Let's just forget about the music. We're talking with Chris Norton here. We're talking about dating. We're talking about, the situation that led to this terrible crime in Arizona. The psychopathic date, if you will, the fatal attraction date, the play Misty for me date, call it what you will. They exist, and they exist in every generation. And we're talking to Chris about his experiences. Chris is a adult film actor as well as a telemarketer and does The Single Life. You're at this place, Nightlight?
Yes, sir.
And you are doing what tonight?
I'm going to be the DJ. I'm going to be come up right after Mookie Swanson gets done. Mookie's does first set, and then I come up and I do kind of my thing, which is I'm Chris Norton Splodes, you know, woo, woo. And it's a lot of fun, and I do games. We do a balloon. And that's what I tell them. I just go, we're going balloon. And
What is that?
Well, I don't really want to say because it tips it off. But it's not. It doesn't have nothing to do with nitrous oxide. That's the first thing the club owner goes. Davey says, dude, you can't be, you know, doing balloons. I said, I'm not doing no balloons. I said, we're just going to go balloon.
Okay. You don't want to tell me what that is?
If I tell you, people may be listening.
Okay, I understand. So, Chris, getting past that for just a moment. You were talking about women that have been crazy. You feel that it is a feather in your cap if a woman is so obsessed with you that she wants to kill you?
Well, I think it's difficult to... okay, hold on. Oh, man, no. Yeah, all right. Mr. Henry, if you could, for just a second. Lorraine, what's up? That's the girl that I was telling you about.
This is one of your dates.
Yeah, she just came in. Her name's Lorraine, and she is very hot, and she is totally into me. But she was, as I mentioned to you last week when I was on the shoot, I was on that shoot for Barbarella Unzipped, if you remember.
Well, you're telling me I don't know the name of it.
Yeah, it's Barbarella Unzipped, and she was the one parked at the bottom of the driveway, and who wanted to cut it up.
Okay, this is what I'm talking about, man. You're in this club with this psycho chick.
Yeah, but see, hold on. Yeah, see, here's what I'm saying, Mr. Henry.
No, you're in the club with a psycho. Just listen to me, will you? You're in the club with a psycho chick that had a razor, a straight razor. She's parked at the end of the driveway while you're doing a movie. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
She wants to cut you up, dude. Why are you still in that club as she walks in?
Because, Mr. Henry, I think you need to understand, I am, you know, I'm very good looking. I have been with all women. And please listen to me for just a moment, Mr. Henry. The other thing is that I think a lot of the men that are listening to you right now, I'm looking at Maureen right now, and she is completely hot. I mean, she's smoking hot. She's got on a leather catsuit that is totally sweet. She's got on big spike heels, the cat suit's hugging, and she has a very fine body, okay? And I think that's something that unless you've seen that...
Yeah, you know what, dude, I have seen that, so what has that got to do with anything?
Man, you are getting old.
No, well, okay, maybe I am, but maybe I'm getting smart. If you see somebody who, was it last week?
Hold on, I don't think you heard me. She's got on a leather cat suit... That's smoking hot.
I heard you, man, that she's got on a leather catsuit that's smoking hot. She almost took a straight razor to you.
Hold on for a minute. Hey, Lorraine. Hey, what's up? Yeah. And she also, Mr. Henry, she's out dancing right now with this one guy. Oh, God, she's dancing with, hey, check out who she's dancing with. Yeah, Mickey. Yeah, Mickey the Geek. Hey, Mickey, yeah, go, Mick. Woo! Yeah, she's dancing with Mickey the Geek, who she usually dances with. And the reason why they call him the Geek is because he's ugly and he's like almost got a hunchback and he's got one leg shorter than the other. But apparently his penis is like a 15 inches or.
Okay, that's fine, man. I don't need to hear that.
Well, I mean that's the only reason why she would ever even want to even be close to even saying yes to Mickey the Geek. You know.
I got it about Mickey the Geek. You know, you seem to be making a joke about this.
Well, I mean, what are you talking about?
This is a woman that wanted to razor you up.
Yes, she did. I'm aware of that. But I'm also trying to tell you, Mr. Henry, and I'm telling your audience, yeah, she did want to take a straight razor to my throat and slice it, but she's also got a pair on her. And I wish I could...
you're right. We are not communicating here.
Yeah, I wish I could explain it to you, man. I mean, what am I not explaining? What am I not explaining?
What you're not explaining is how it is that the size of her breasts overrides death. You're not explaining how the shape of her body and the beauty of the form of this woman is overriding your survival instinct. You're not explaining that to me.
What? Yeah.
Did she talk? Mr. Henry's talking about...
Man, I'm going to tell him to turn the music down because it's turning you tired, man. You know...
Yeah, I'm going to come down there to Nightlight, and I'm going to break the equipment.
Okay, I just got a threat from this guy.
All right, hold on for a minute, will you?
Jimmy, I just got a threat from some guy that talks like he's got, like somebody took a razor blade to part of his brain.
All right, we'll be back next hour with more on the Jodi Arias. She has been convicted of first-degree murder. That was Chris Norton saying that, yes, you don't want to be cut up by a woman, but after all, it is kind of a feather in your cap to have a woman want to kill you because she can't be with you. Huh? We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
I mean, you know, it's just the one, half a dozen of the other, Mr. Henry.
The what?
It's just the one.
Your sister one?
No, man. I said it's just the one.
Phil Hendry.
Come on, man.
Shores, El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So right now, if you're watching Phil TV in HD, we're going to switch over just to give you a look at the story that we're going to talk about. And the story that we're going to talk about now is the ongoing dramatics there in Cleveland, which, of course, is the rescuing, if you will, the freeing of those three women who'd been abducted and had been held captive in that home in Cleveland for close to a decade, in a couple of their instances, a full decade. The suspect who is being held, this guy, one of the suspects being held, and the guy that was mentioned in the 911 call because it's his home, Ariel Castro, has been charged with rape, kidnapping, rape and kidnapping charges, and was charged today while two of the women return home to, quote, raucous crowds. One of the women, her name, I believe, is Michelle Knight. She was, her brother was quoted as saying she's not doing as well as maybe the other two. I don't know why that is, and nobody's saying, but that's the case there. Suspect in Ohio helped neighbors look for a missing child, apparently, at one point in the history of this guy's life and his residence there. Also, in 2008, he was pulled over by Cleveland area police, and they've got that on tape. As a matter of fact, they showed the video of this guy getting pulled over for some reason. In the years after his friend's daughter vanished, while walking home from school, Ariel Castro handed out flyers with the 14-year-old's photos and performed music at a fundraiser held in her honor. When neighbors gathered for a candlelight vigil just a year ago to remember that girl, Castro was there too, comforting the girl's mother. Are you ready for the pair on this guy?
What?
What do you mean, what?
You know what, about the guts.
Yeah, you said his pair.
That's what I'm talking about.
But I think you're doing that on purpose. If I hear you ask a stupid question again, you're going to go down for the count. Do you understand?
You can't hurt me.
You're going to go down for the count. Do you understand or do you not?
That's her talking, not me. And remember what is in the news.
Shut up!
In any event, the story goes, now he and his brothers are in custody after a frantic 911 call led police to his run-down crap can house, where authorities say this Mr. DeJesus and two other women missing for about a decade... Ms. DeJesus and two other women missing for a decade were held captive by this guy. Authorities have until Wednesday evening to bring charges against the men. This clown, this, I could say clown, I mean, this animal has been charged, as I mentioned, with rape and kidnapping. This guy, you know, I'm telling you, there are some things in this world where death, even though he didn't take a life, yeah, he did. I take that back. He took a life and then some. These women are going to need, God knows what they're going to need. And this poor girl, this Michelle Knight, 32 years of age, her brother said she's not doing as well as the other two. And I want to read up on that. She remains in a local hospital while both Barry and DeJesus came home to raucous crowds. Barry and her daughter Jocelyn were taken by police escort to Barry's sister's home while DeJesus returned to her parents' tan bungalow. Both families live in the city's West Side neighborhood, just a few miles from the ramshackle row house where they were apparently held as prisoners. That's the news business doing their due diligence. You can't say that they were raped by this guy. You can't say legally that this, otherwise these guys can turn around and file a major lawsuit against the paper, and it doesn't matter if they actually are found guilty. It was before the fact, and it can prejudice a jury, and it's insane.
Yeah, in other words, you have to say allegedly. That's the key word. Excuse me for just a moment. I'm sorry, Phil.
Boy, I thought we went through a couple of days without that.
One of the problems is you make a big issue out of it, and I've talked to David Hall about this, and we tried to put our heads together on this, Phil, and I said to David, I said, look, let's do a powwow on Phil.
What do you mean do a powwow on Phil? What, is there something wrong with me? The problem is with you.
Phil, I sat down with David. I said, if you've got a weekend, let's get together some professionals.
Margaret, there's nothing wrong with me when I react to you. Is that David?
Yeah, Mr. Hall. So you have mailed a check to my house? I mean, the payroll department did? Very good. The Tootsie Rolls and...
Wait. What the hell's going on?
He bought some Tootsie Rolls. Remember when I was doing a fundraiser for the magazines?
You're selling Tootsie Rolls? What is magazines?
I didn't want to sell the magazines. I'm selling a Tootsie Roll.
Bud, what are you doing that for, man? You don't need that kind of... You don't need to take the extra job.
No, but you get to keep... I told you...
Yeah, you know the Tootsie Roll?
Because you want to get the extra Tootsie Rolls? That's why you're out of your mind. Let me talk to him, will you?
Yeah, well, hold on. Yeah, hold on.
Give me the phone. What are you taking it? Hey, David, hold on. I'm going to put you on the air, man. I got to ask you a question. I want to ask you a question. Well, I'm terribly sorry. I want to ask you. David G. Hall with us. David?
Yeah, what's going on?
David, but I want to jump in here first because Phil is going to preempt what I'm trying to say.
No, hold on. It's my show, and I'm going to say what I want to say. Now, Margaret is here, and she's saying that you guys had a powwow because I'm objecting to her belching?
Oh, yeah. No, we got together with Phil. I told Margaret, you know, see, you were going to flip your lid, and I'm here with Janine. In fact, we're going to go out. We're getting donuts over here at Spudnuts.
Is this your girlfriend?
No, Phil, it's my mom. Yes, it's my girlfriend. Who do you think I'm going to be out with close to midnight?
Your girlfriend, but her name is Janine 1 week, Gloria.
She comes from a Mexican family.
So?
They got a lot of names. They name them after a saint, the Virgin Mary. How many names does L.A. have, okay?
David.
No, how many names does L.A. have?
No, don't give me that bull crap, okay? Her name is Janine, it's Mary, it's this, it's that. I know plenty of Hispanic people, and they only got one name.
Well, this chick is, excuse me, honey, I didn't mean to call you a chick. This lady has got about nine names. How many names does L.A. have?
L.A.'s got one name, Los Angeles.
No, it doesn't. It's Our Lady of the Village of the Pueblo of the Thing of the Deal of the Do-do-do-do-do-do of the Angels, okay? Only at the bitter end do you get the name of the city that we use today. If we actually used the name of the city, it would be Our Lady of the Thing of the Thing of the Thing of the Thing.
What are you talking about, of the thing?
He's saying, Bud.
Bud... If you don't butt out, I'm going to follow through. I'll come in right behind Phil. Margaret gets you first, then Phil, then me. And by the time I'm done, by the time I get there, there won't be much left of you, but I'll make do. The city of Los Angeles was founded in 1781 by a priest by the name of, who was it, Phil?
Father Junipero Serra.
Yeah.
No, he didn't found the city. He put a couple of missions here.
Well, who put the city together?
The Spanish.
All right, well, I didn't know that. But the fact is, when the Spanish named these towns, they gave them these big, long names so that the Virgin Mary would think that they were just all that and, you know, and a bag of scalps. So,
I don't appreciate the scalp line.
Well, I do. And I happen to be a principal in the company. Now, what I want to, hold on for a minute. What do you want, honey? Yeah, we're going to Spud Nuts right now. God. Can I ask you a question? I better not ask with the lady sitting there, but,
What?
Well, Margaret's there, and I wanted to ask you a question.
Well, go ahead. I'm not going to get offended, David.
No, that's not true. Yes, you will get offended.
Well, go ahead and ask if you need to ask it.
I kind of do, baby. Would you go inside there? Give me one of those, give me some of those Starbursts, will you? Give me a big, long, give me the two party packs, huh? Beautiful. Phil, I want to ask you a question because you like full-figured women. She likes these donuts. We're going to Spud Nuts. This is the second box tonight.
Yeah.
Am I on my way to a terrible thing? Is this going to turn into...
Well, what do you mean, David?
I mean, is she going to become big and big times two, you know?
Is she
going to
get fat?
I wouldn't want to put it that way. She's got a great butt. And even if she put on a 60 pounds, it would probably be a fantastic butt. But the rest of her...
I would have to say, David, if she tends to be full-figured, as you say, and she likes donuts, yeah, man, she's probably going to get, you know, large.
I think that stands to reason. But if she's got the large posterior,
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, see, this is what I mean. I like it, but I don't need it to cast a shadow. I don't know how to put it. There's an old line.
Yeah, I understand. David, I would say that if you want to make her happy, let her have her donuts. Love a woman for what... You don't want her to be unhealthy.
Look, please don't give me a big, long women's lib speech, okay?
I think what Phil's saying is very, very sound.
Well, that's just great. But I don't need to hear about... Well, if you want her to be... Of course I want her to be happy. But I want me to be happy. And frankly, I want me to be happy more than I want her. See what I mean?
Well, let's just put it this way. In you wanting to be happy, you will also save her health.
That's what I'm looking for, right there. That's what I'm looking for.
Okay. Then you can recommend to her, you know, honey, I want you to be healthy. You know, you're a young woman. I don't want you to have heart problems or anything, you know, diabetes. And I tell you what, after we eat these donuts...
You're not going to say he should have sex with her.
Well, that's a pretty good idea, so she can burn off the calories.
Yeah, but I mean, you're going to have to put it in a nice way. Otherwise, she's going to think you're just...
Whoa, hold on for now. That's a beautiful thing, because if I go out and I buy her a box of donuts, that's worth, you see what I'm saying? Because,
Hold on, just wait a minute. You're saying that a box of Spud Nuts donuts is your payment in kind for her intimacy.
Forget it.
All right, Dale, I'll talk to you later, okay?
Yeah, call me when the show's over, will you?
Oh, yeah, you boys get together and figure the world out.
Hey, Margaret, you know what? I'm not telling you how to live. All I'm trying to say is that I buy her a box of donuts, and what do? Sit there playing with it? So I'm going to sit there while she shoves these eclairs into her face, and I'm unzipped. Thank you very much.
You're laughing at that?
Yes, I am. I can't help it. What do you want me to do? I work with maniacs. I can only laugh. That guy is feeling so deprived because she doesn't automatically want to have sex with him after she eats her dozen donuts from Spud Nuts.
Well, that is a good question. How long? And I know you probably don't like it, but Ms. Gray, you know, be a good question on a dating game or something. How long do you wait from the last donut to when you expect it, you know?
Yes, well, I think that's a good question in terms of being... mannered, Robert, and I think it's a good question in terms of taking the feelings of a young lady into consideration. But I am also talking about health. But yes, how long should you wait before you tell her you want sex and after the last donut?
Is eaten.
Is eaten, yes. Can we do that when we come back?
No, we cannot do that when we come back.
What?
We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth
you
is
dare
our bitch.
Say no to me?
The Phil Henry
yeah.
Show.
I'm Margaret Gray, heir to the Earl Gray fortune.
This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We're online at philhendryshow.com every single night. We do a video cast of our show. We're doing one right now. And you can access this video cast, which is not only the full show, but it is also the uncensored breaks between the aired segments. We also have an uncensored 45-minute pre-show. And we do a lot of little things with Phil TV. On Saturday nights, we have our Saturday night movie. We didn't have it last Saturday night because I was out of town, but we will have a film for you Saturday night on Phil TV. People seem to dig that.
But the one you had the other time.
Which one?
You had a couple just before you went on vacation.
Oh, we did Things to Come.
That's it. And then the one with the girl's head rolling down.
Yeah, Dementia 13. So we did, Things to Come, which got a lot of people reacted to it. They dug it. And
what's that about?
It's bitching. It's about a futuristic society.
Well, I mean, it's actually about, it's H.G. Wells who wrote the book, and then he did the actual screenplay. And it's about, it's H.G. Wells was, like many science fiction writers and fantasy writers, he put social commentary into his writings, but Things to Come is about Britain just as war is breaking out, and even that was very prognosticative, if you'll pardon the use of a 50-cent word.
That's like a dollar word, prognosticative.
Well, in any event, he wrote that Europe is on the verge of war, which it was, and that this war, World War II, resulted in the destruction of civilization, and by the year 1970, we're living as if it's like the 1500s. You know, people are, ox carts and stuff, and cats are wearing these fright wigs, you know.
What's that about?
What's what about?
Why are you wearing a fright wig?
Well, they weren't wearing, their hair was somehow wigged out. I don't know why, you know.
Well, that needs a little explanation, because there are racial overtones. What do you mean?
No, there's not racial overtone. You know, Margaret, there's not racial overtones.
You're saying that in the film they had men in Don King fright wigs, and I want to know why.
Yeah, I'm just curious.
Would you guys not hit the microphone, please?
Sorry.
I think they tried to make these people look as if they were living hand-to-mouth and they didn't have time to comb their hair. I mean, seriously.
Are you putting me on? They're going to do a science fiction movie about what happens when your hair don't get combed? That's nuts.
For once, I agree with Bud.
They didn't do a movie about what happens when your hair doesn't get combed. God, it's a H.G. Wells. I don't know why, and I'm not answering any more questions like that. Okay, do you understand? I'm simply going to tell you knuckleheads that this film showed the world of the future. And eventually the movie wraps up in the year like 2070, I think. And there is a, what do they call, a rocket gun? And this is a gun, it's a cannon that fires a missile with people in it to the moon. And these people are going to go to the moon. What's really interesting about it is that H.G. Wells conceives of the future as a return to sort of the Roman Empire, the Roman Empire class system, and even the fashions. Everybody in the year 2060 is dressed as if it's Rome, only a futuristic Rome. They're wearing these tunics. And there's crowds that are, I say that we go and we stop the gun. So there's this mob mentality. And but it was a cool flick. People dug it. And then Dementia 13 was written and directed by Francis Ford Coppola at the urging of Roger Corman, who he was working for at the time. But Corman, all he wanted, because Francis Ford Coppola had done a good job for him on one of his other movies, he said, all right, here, I'll give you a budget, make a movie. And Coppola made this movie, which Roger Corman immediately took and changed. I think he added some scenes or he took over. So even Corman didn't know what he had until it was too late. You've got Francis Ford Coppola there. Just let him make the movie he wants to make.
Well, I think we ought to have some changes here because...
So anyway...
Well, I don't think Roger Corman sounded like he had a stroke and the left side of his face wasn't working. Good Lord.
Yes.
All right, I'm sorry.
Well, this is... You go... Phil, he wasn't walking around...
I didn't say he was. I said, hey. All right. Let's get on the line here. We have with us Christian Tomba. Christian is a psychic. He is a, a mentalist, I think is one of the words you use, Christian. Not you, but people in your craft or your trade. I don't know. What would you call it? Would you call what you do a trade or craft or what?
Right. Well, what we do is the reading of the interior landscape of the human condition. I know that's a very floral description of attempting to plot the lifeline of the individuals as well as the larger groupings such as society, and it's been difficult because of the abundance and the plethora of people who are engaged in this kind of work. You know, is it
work? Is it a career?
Well, I like to think it is. It's as I was saying to you before the broadcast, you know, I said to you that I've written books and I've been a consultant in some murder cases.
Now, you worked for who at that time?
I worked for the London Metropolitan Police Department.
All right, and they brought in you as a psychic.
Right, well, there was a case, two cases in the mid-80s, where they really were up against it and they needed to change it up and try to shake a few things loose, and they brought a psychic in. They used one other psychic, a woman by the name of Mary McCumbrey. I don't know if you've ever heard that name or not.
No, I have not.
Mary McCumbrey, who predicted that the child would be, this was an abducted child, and she was going to be found under a wheelbarrow. In the Midlands of England, and the police converged on a site that she said there was a wheelbarrow. Well, there was no wheelbarrow, there was a cement mixer, and inside was this child who had been abducted. The child was alive and been put into a cement mixer. So she got that so bloody wrong, you know.
Wait. I want to talk to you when we come back. It doesn't sound like she got it too wrong. She said
that the child would be under a wheelbarrow in the Midlands, and they found the child in a cement mixer. You've got to know England. You don't know England, so...
All right, hold on. We'll be back with Christian Tomba, because I want to ask him about a psychic who was very much wrong in the case of Amanda Berry and these three abducted women in Cleveland. We're talking about a very, very famous psychic, Sylvia Brown. And we'll talk here with Christian Tomba, psychic, mentalist, spiritualist from England, here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
You can spell my name because I've got a book coming.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Do you have a backstage pass to the Phil Hendry website, philhendryshow.com? If you don't, you're missing close to 5,000 hours of great quality, dare I say, legendary audio entertainment. 5,000 hours. Now, that's not just radio bits. That's not just clips of things. Those are whole shows, the entire show. If you have a backstage pass, you also are treated to a daily classic podcast. We pull a half an hour from hither and thither, and we give you an example there each day as a subscriber of what you can find in the archives. If you have a backstage pass, you can tune into our video casts, which happen each and every night from 9:15 Pacific all the way to the end of the show. We have a pre-show of 45 minutes that is completely uncensored. If you have that backstage pass, you can access that video cast as an archive as well. We have several weeks worth of our video casts archived. If you have a backstage pass,
you can look at a webisode.
You can look at our webisodes. Animated webisodes by Stephen White are there on our website. If you have a backstage pass, you can access the Milwaukee Lion Archive. This is the fictitious Milwaukee Lion football team that is all the rage. And we're going to have Milwaukee Lion merch this summer.
You sure about that?
No. But I think. So, you know, it's a lot of fun. And you also can interact. I got to get back over to the feed because I've been doing so much that I haven't had a chance to be over on our comment feed with our BSPs, and that's going to have to, I'm going to have to step up my game over there, because they used to be over there quite a bit. In any event, that's what you get with our backstage pass, and there's all kinds of stuff that I'm forgetting. So join us at philhendryshow.com. This is a customer appreciation month, so you get free downloads depending upon the length of commitment you make as a BSP. So if you have a 1 month, I think you get one download. Do you know, Margaret?
Yes, well, I think it's like the 1 and the 3 and the 5. If I'm not mistaken, you have to read because there's a fact sheet, and we call that a FAQ, F-A-Q, ladies and gentlemen, F-A-Q. That's internet talk for
a fact.
For fact, yes, but it's not that easy. It's not as if Bud understands it, I'm not saying it right.
No, you're saying it right. It's the fact. The fact is, you get 1 for a month's subscription. You get 3 for a 6-month subscription. You get 5 for a 1-year subscription. Do it, PhilHenryShow.com. All right, with us, Christian Tomba, a psychic who's worked a number of criminal cases. Christian, the reason why I wanted you to come on here with us is because a psychic who said Amanda Berry was dead has been silent since Ms. Berry has been found alive, and this is the very famous Sylvia Brown. Sylvia Brown has made a career of televised psychic readings, told Luana Miller on a 2004 episode of that show that her daughter was dead. Luana Miller is the mother of young Amanda Berry, causing Miller to break down in tears on the show's set. "She's not alive, honey," Brown told Miller on the show, according to the Cleveland Plain Dealer. "Your daughter's not the kind who wouldn't call." Your comment.
Well, it's unfortunate, but Sylvia Brown, in my opinion, has been a hack for a long time. Now, I'm not trying to foul the waters that she has to swim in. I'm not trying to libel or drive any business away from Ms. Brown, but I think she has been over the hill and sort of stillborn for quite a long time. She's just no good. I just don't think she's any good, and I think that I understand that the mother thought that this young girl was alive, but she also believed in Ms. Brown.
Yeah, 98% she said she believed in what Brown told her. And Luana Miller died a year later from heart failure.
Well, right there, you can find the culprit right there. She was, I think, she was killed by Sylvia Brown.
Well, now, wait just a minute here, Mr. Tomba. This is Margaret Gray. Aren't you being a little presumptuous?
No, I'm not being presumptuous, Ms. Gray, because think about it. If you tell a woman on national television, you're saying to her, Your daughter's dead. You understand? She's dead. And nothing's going to bring her back. And there's nothing. We tried to do everything we could, but we couldn't do nothing.
Well, have you ever told anyone this on national television?
I had to, yes. And I can tell you I did it at a damn sight much more sympathetic and compassionate way.
What were you... Was this on TV?
Yes, it was. It was on TV. It was Reggie Toll Show, which is a midday show on BBC Four. And I was on with the London Metropolitan Police Commissioner at that time, was a man by Barton Moody. And we were, it was part of the investigation of a serial rapist known as the Piccadilly Jack or the Piccadilly Thrill, was what I call him. He was a serial rapist down at Piccadilly Circus, right? So.
What was the name of the guy?
Well, they found the gentleman. I think his name was Thomas Penton. But at the time, the newspapers called him the Piccadilly Thrill Seeker.
You're saying Piccadilly.
I know. Well, I know I'm not. Excuse me. Can I talk to one person at a time here?
Yeah, but just keep it. He's saying it's his accent. It's his British accent.
Yeah, he's going to go with Piccadilly.
I said Piccadilly, all right? If it doesn't sound like Piccadilly, it's not sounding good to you. I'm going to say you, young man, and you sound as if someone caved your head in. Were you the guy they dragged out of the truck in the Rodney King rod? Never mind.
Boy, that is... I don't know, Mr. Tomba, that's nothing you bring up in our country.
What?
The whole... The guy that got hit with the brick in the Rodney King riots...
I'm asking, is he the guy?
No, he's not the guy.
I ain't got hit with no brick.
Well, something hit you. Were you aware? Has anyone ever beat you over the head with a 2x4?
Not that I know of.
Not that you know of. Wow. All right.
Let's get back to the discussion here. Now, you said that you predicted on a national, the Reggie Tall Show...
Well, don't say it like I'm full of crap. I see you on this Phil TV and you're going to Reggie Tall Show like you think I'm lying to you. You think I'm a bloody liar, and I'm not a liar. I'm telling you the truth.
I'm not saying you're a liar. I'm asking you the specifics of this prediction. Now, did you tell the mother of this abducted child? It was an abducted child, or was it a rapist?
It was a rapist. It was Piccadilly. I thought you were asking me about the Piccadilly thrill seeker.
No, I'm asking you about this case that you brought up.
Oh, that well, the case I'm bringing up is the case of Reggie Schmutton, and he was a farmer. He was a dairy farmer, and he was one of the very, very old school Welsh dairy farmers out in Swansea City, right outside of Swansea City. And in any event, this chap would take his milk and his dairy products to market in the morning, and he did it on an old-fashioned wagon. He's got horses, and he's got the big jugs of milk, and he's bringing in big blocks of cheese. And he's going into Swansea City from his farm, you know.
But what is Swansea City?
A city? Jesus.
Bud,
is that in America?
No, are you listening to us, man? Where is it, Wales?
It's in Wales. So, in any event, the child went missing. And I said, I think the child is inside of one of those milk jugs. I think he's a white slaver. And I think the police should stop the cart as it's on its way to Swansea in the morning and empty out the milk. You'll find a child inside the milk drum. Now, I said that the child is not being drowned or suffocated or anything like this in the milk. I said, because the child will be just above the level of the milk, and he'll be disguised as a loaf of bread or something. So it looks normal. Because I said the child's alive, but the child is in a jug of milk.
The child's alive, but the child's in a jug of milk, so you assume the child was not being drowned.
That's correct. Now, they found, and then I said, because I got another vibration, because they dropped off the milk, the police immediately stopped this man, Chuck Egat. And Chuck Egat had a small pie shop. He sold pints and pie, mostly meat pie. I went in there, and I had a meat pie, I had a pint, and I said, that tastes so good, I think I'll have myself another one. And I wound up spending the afternoon and the evening, and I says to myself, you know what, Christian Tumba, you've been working hard, I'm going to have another meat pie and another pint. And I wound up vomiting outside of the pub, you know.
That's all well and good, but I don't know, is this part of the...
What it was is I had the vision then that the child was underneath the wheelbarrow. And I called up Scotland Yard, and I got Inspector Vipper, and I...
Now, who's this guy?
Inspector Vipper was in charge of the case of Scotland Yard.
Inspector Vipper.
Vipper, right. Isaac Vipper, a wonderful chap, a Jewish chap. There's nothing wrong with that in my book. I think he's straight up a good man. I says, you can be a Jew. It doesn't matter to me at all.
Okay, that's fine. So so the guy is looking into the wheelbarrow.
Yes, I said this child's going to be... He lifted up the wheelbarrow in the Midlands of England, and there was nothing there. They found instead a cement mixer in Scotland, and the kid was stuffed in there alive and all no worse for the wear, but a little bit scared because the kid had gone from being in a milk jug... he had been under a wheelbarrow, and then they stuffed him in a cement mixer. And the child is probably a half an hour away from being a part of a pool deck in Scotland. If you think about that, that is a horrifying way to go, because there's not too many swimming pools in Scotland. And this was a private residence, too, an old man and an old woman. And it's very difficult for me to think of an old man and an old woman without feeling hatred for them, even though they didn't know there'd be a little tiny baby in their pool deck.
What do you mean about a baby?
If you're not listening to me, I...
He said that this child almost was in a cement mixer and almost got poured into a pool deck.
But that'd take some kind of dumbass.
This is a criminal, you jackball. It's not a guy. Is this guy listening? Mr. Henry, do you know this guy?
Yeah, he's on my show.
Really?
Yeah, do you hear him on the microphone? He's on my show. All right, let's take a break.
You're not going to. You got to let me button this up.
All right, we'll button it up when we come back. With me, Christian Tumba, a psychic who is giving us his experience in this area of psychics working with police. Sylvia Brown, the famous psychic, had told Amanda Berry's mother that her daughter was dead. Luana Miller died in 2004, a year later, not knowing that her daughter was indeed alive and, of course, would be found eventually. We'll be right back with more here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I meant to say I grew up in the street, you know, and I...
Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I have with me Christian Tauba, noted psychist and psychic and spiritualist. And I'm saying to you, Christian, here on the Phil Hendry Show, I just don't see the value of psychics in police, most of them. And I'm not saying, you know, I'm speaking specifically of this Sylvia Brown. I'm familiar with her. She was on my show. I don't mean to be cruel, but I found her to be ridiculous. And I didn't think she was all that skilled and... So now you come along and you're telling me you worked with the London Metropolitan Police on finding the a killer of children, but that child that you found was alive.
Right. Well, this was Piccadilly, the Piccadilly Billy. And the reason why I brought up Piccadilly Thrill was I was a serial rapist, or Piccadilly Jack, or Piccadilly Walt. But the Piccadilly Billy was the one that was abducting children and leaving them places that the parents would never think of, and the child had to find his way. In one instance,
was he killing the children?
No, he was not killing the children. He was putting them in places. It was scare the living daylights out of parents. In one instance, they found a child on a barge in the Mercy River. Child was playing with human. Child was playing with feces. Can you imagine that? A little tiny child.
Wait. This was a kid that was abducted.
That's right. A child got abducted by Piccadilly Billy. And they found a child on a barge in the middle of the Mercy River, at Merseyside, what we call Merseyside or Liverpool, up there on the west coast of England. And the child was, they found a child playing with human feces in a dirty, filthy septic tank. And Piccadilly Billy sent up a letter to the Liverpool Echo saying, ha, 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 and like that, you know, and better than a toilet brush or something like that.
But the child had not been hurt.
No, the child was not hurt. There was I believe there was a sack lunch with the child and a pass for the ferry going back to Liverpool. So whoever put him on the ferry got him a round trip pass. He got a pass going across and a pass coming back and a sack lunch and two tickets to the cinema.
That is, are you sure that that's true?
Am I sure is what true? Yes, it's true. You can look it up if you want. Go ahead, look it up. That, you've never heard of Piccadilly Billy.
No, I've never heard of Piccadilly Billy. I don't know whether that... I mean, I'm not saying that it didn't happen, but the guy abducted children, didn't harm them at all, just put them places that were weird.
Right, but you're a parent, you're going to have a heart attack. The lady was looking at this little child, was Winston Smudge, as I was saying, was the name of this little boy, and his mother was like to have a heart attack. It's this poor lady looking for her little child. He was only a five-year-old child, and they find him sitting on this dirty, filthy barge in the middle of the Mercy River. And
but you're telling me this guy abducted them and gave them a sack lunch, a round-trip pass, and two tickets to the cinema.
Right. Well, you're saying, it's his way of saying, well, you're waiting for the police to come and find you. That's something for you to do. If you've got a friend.
What friend would a five-year-old kid have in a place that he's never been to before?
I don't know, Miss Henry. I'm trying to tell you about the case that I was involved in.
Christian, I appreciate your patience, and you are a very, very patient man. I think what Phil is getting at is the fact that,
Right.
Oh, forget it.
Forget it. She was going to ask a question.
Don't worry about it. She does that a lot.
Well, don't talk about me like I'm not here.
All right. You do that a lot, Margaret.
What does she do a lot?
She stops. She starts to say something, then she goes, forget it.
That's my constitutional right.
Well, it's right, if you don't want to finish up there. But I want to say that in the case of Piccadilly Billy, he was never caught, and no one really wanted to catch him, because what he was doing was he was taking his children and taking them off the hands of... It was quite a very strange year. in England at that time, as these children were being abducted, and no one gave no one gave two turds about it.
Okay, yeah.
And because it gave the parents a break.
Well, I don't know what to say. It's weird, man. It's real weird.
It's weird, but it's not as weird as Sylvia Brown saying...
All right, well, so you were wrong in the prediction of finding the kid under the wheelbarrow. What were the repercussions?
Well, the repercussions for me was I got on a Terry Jean Liverpool Live. And I don't know if you've ever heard this radio show, but it is the most foul and obscene. It's very funny, but it's disgusting. And it's Terry Jean at the Liverpool Live radio show over at Radio City in Liverpool. And I went over there with my agent, and they sat me down in that studio, and they started making all kinds of sexual jokes involving animals. And they accused me of having sex with doorknobs. And
What is this, some kind of a shock jock show?
That's right. That's what it was. It's a shock jock show. And they said, you know, it's all in good fun, right? And I said, and they gave us coffee and they gave us donuts and pastries, and we also had a pie there, a good meat pie for breakfast, and they also gave us coffee, and we had some good strong black tea. And I said, you know, that's all well and good, but where do we get a pint? I'd love to get a pint in me before I go. And they said, don't worry about it, mate. And they had a full bar in the radio studio there at Liverpool Live with his Terry Jean show with all of his filthy jokes, right? But I have to say, I've never been treated with such great hospitality, and they're very fine blokes. But yes, their jokes and their humor was vicious and foul and defamatory. And I had to put up with it.
Well, why did you have to put up with it?
Yes, you can walk out of those studios.
Well, because I wanted to talk about the case of Piccadilly Billy and the fact that I said the kid would be under a wheelbarrow. And I to this day, I say that I was pretty damn close, because it wasn't a wheelbarrow. It was a cement mixer. And it wasn't in the Midlands. It was in Scotland. But still in all, it was a pretty good call by me, I think, and I have to be very proud of myself.
What were these guys calling you on the Terry Jean show?
Oh, they called me an animal. They said I had sex with cats. They said that I loved doorknobs. I didn't wipe. And I said to them, I said, why are you saying these terrible things about me when you know they're not true? They said, well, we're the Terry Jean show. Ha, ha, ha. And I said, I wouldn't know you. I wouldn't know you if you were laying dead in my home and stinking it up with the stench of death. And they said, we're Terry Jean, ha, ha, ha. And they made another reference to what they said was my peculiarity when it came to sex with women, where I would remove my underwear and wear it as a necklace or something. It's ridiculous.
All right, listen, Christian, you've been a good sport. We appreciate it. You got some great stories. We hope to hear you again on our show.
I'd be very, very honored.
Thank you. Christian Tomba, spiritualist, psychic. We'll be back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
That man has the weirdest bunch of bull.
Phil Hendry.
Go ahead, Martin.
I said I thought he was excited. I didn't say that I was terribly excited, but I found him interesting.
Well, I mean, you said you thought... Didn't you use the words you thought he was terribly exciting?
I said I found him terrible.
No, you didn't know.
No, wait. I said he was terribly, and then I paused, and I got some tea, and then I said excited. All right.
Yeah, that's what you said. So you found that guy sexy.
Well, hold your horses there, Tonto. I didn't say he's sexy. I said he was terribly exciting.
And terrible.
And terrible. Obviously, he doesn't do his job very well, because he was predicting that they would find a child underneath a wheelbarrow, right?
Yeah, he made a predict. This was Piccadilly Billy, a guy that abducted children but didn't do anything with them other than just take them weird places and leave them with a sack lunch and tickets to the cinema.
Well, no, that was just that one time.
Yeah, he didn't. I think he left them with a sack, because I looked up Piccadilly Billy. He left them with a sack lunch, sometimes with a thermos of soup, and sometimes with just a thermos of tea, depending upon the age of the child, and vitamins.
What is this guy? That's the weirdest thing I ever heard. He's taking children from the home. He's scaring the hell out of the parents, but then he's leaving the kids with a lunch and vitamins.
Well, what are you going to... Why are you being a hard ass about it?
Because a guy like that would still earn my wrath. To take your child, you know where your kid is? I'll bring it up again, Margaret, and you're going to really... Because you disappointed me last night.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about your son, Jason J. Delmonico. You don't want to think of your son in terms of these things.
I won't hear it, Phil. Jason J. Delmonico, here's the difference. And people always misunderstand this. I'm not saying... All I'm telling you is Jason J. Delmonico would never get Del Monte. What am I... Jason J. Delmonico. I'm having palpitations.
Well, just sit down and relax, okay? Because I think I know what you... Jason J. Delmonico would never be abducted because he's too smart.
Yes.
Okay. I think that's dangerous to think that way, Margaret.
All right. I'll bite. Why?
You'll bite? Why? Because he's still a child. He's a 14-year-old boy. And smart though he may be, these psychopathic predators, as we've been talking, are very smart. They are skilled. They are skilled in the hunt. I hate to put it that way, but that's the kind of sick animal they are. And they are skilled not only in the hunt, but in the capture and, yes, in the killing of their prey and their kids. And you're putting that, your boy, as smart as he is, why are you laying down now?
The palpitation, just keep talking. I'm listening. Bud, would you get me a paper towel?
Yes, ma'am.
What happened?
None of your beeswax.
So anyway, I think that they're very smart, and to put a kid, I'm not saying you put a kid in that situation, but to say, oh, Jason J. Delmonico's really smart, I think you're cruising for a bruising there, you know.
Well, Phil, again, thank you.
Put it on your crotch.
You dirty...
Wow! Right in the nose.
That's right, and that's with my left hand. I'm sorry, Phil, but there was leakage.
Oh, God.
You know what I'm really sick of is you commenting on every personal habit that I have.
Well, Margaret, how can we not? You belch. You're asking for paper towels. You're telling everybody every bowel movement you have. You're telling us when the toilet is plugged up. You're telling us when we need to get a plunger in there. You're telling us, you know...
Yeah, I was talking about this stuff.
So, I'm honest, and I want you to know what's going on so you don't have to have a plumbing bill of thousands of dollars. Would you rather have that?
No.
All right.
What I'd rather you do is quit eating those blocks of that Wiltshire cheese.
I like Wiltshire cheese, and how dare you?
Yeah, but a block of cheese.
You know what, Bud? I eat a block of cheese as opposed to having one for a brain, which is what you do. I eat it. You stick it between your ears. And you think with it. Go straight to hell.
You know, you gotta really clean your act up a little bit.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, you telling me to go to hell every time. That's the funniest thing I ever heard.
I didn't think it was funny.
I eat cheese, you use it for you think with it. All right, anyway, welcome back to our program, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I'm having way too much fun for a guy who is, you know, I'm living life on the edge these days, man. What I would like to remind you of is that this Saturday night will be Saturday Night at the Movies on Phil TV, another double feature for you. It will be another double feature of some classic weirdness. We have featured on our Saturday Night movies. Robert, what have we had?
Well, last week we had Things to Come.
I know.
But I'm doing it, man. Last week we had Things to Come, and we had Dimension 13. We had Suddenly with Frank Sinatra. We had another one. Oh, yeah. Bucket of Blood, I think. Or
was it Bucket of Blood? Bloody Pit of Hell. A Bloody Pit of Horror.
Yeah, Bloody Pit of Horror. Diary of a Nude.
No, Diary of a Nudist.
Yeah, Diary of a Nudist. And another nudie cutie called, Dr. Sex.
Dr. Sex. Some of those films we feature occasionally what they used to call nudie cuties. And all it was, all they were films with naked chicks in them. I mean, they would be doing things like in Diary of a Nudist, which is a bull, you know, I mean, you would think, like when we were kids, the neighborhood dads would have stacks of sunbathing magazines. You know, that's how you got away with looking at nudes because, well, this is sunbathing. And so it is a documentary type of investigation, and that is legal. But it's amazing because in the early 60s, you could not show nudity unless it was in the form of educating people about certain things. And so they would get away with showing lots of really hot looking naked chicks by saying it's an expose and documentary on a nudist camp. And, you know, and naturally, as you know, or you may guess, nudist camps have got like regular looking people. They don't all look like Playboy bunnies, except in this movie. They did. And then the other one was what?
Yeah, the other one's Dr. Sex on account of the guy's a
Dr. Sex.
He ain't a doctor of nothing. Nothing in that movie made any sense. But the fact was, even at the beginning of that film, in order to make it legal, even at the beginning of the voiceover, the actor says, so this is a satire. So they're just telegraphing right out of the gate to anybody in those days that was on any film board that could pull these movies from movie theaters. And this is, keep in mind, the early 60s, which you would have thought by then. But no, they are saying, so we thought we would satirize what a doctor of sex would do. All right. So now you're telling us to say, yes, it's a satire. And they got away with that. That movie, Dr. Sex, featured one scene that we all agreed was the best, and that was the belly dancing.
Well, it not only was the best, that actress was a great belly dancer, but she was a beautiful girl, and I'll leave the description of her body to the three of you, but I will say she was a wonderful dancer.
Yeah, and it was pretty hot, man. She had large breasts. She was wearing a belly dancer's brief. I don't know what the hell you call it, but and that was it. And she's dancing for about 20 minutes, and it was pretty damn, and she, talk about beautiful. She was a gorgeous chick. So that was the big, if you'll pardon the expression, climax.
Yeah, I told you not to use that word.
Well, I just used it. That was the big climax of that film, that 15-minute naked dance by this really, really gorgeous blonde girl who today is in her mid-70s.
Yay!
Thank you.
Why would you blow the fantasy like that?
Because that's what she is. She's in her mids. She's this beautiful blonde. Go see the movie. She's fantastic. Fantasize about her. And now think of her today, 78. All right.
Oh, man, you ruined it for me.
Oh, well, isn't that too bad?
What? Hold on. This is serious, Phil. Frank's on the phone. I don't know if you want to talk to him. Hold on. What, dear? Yeah, Phil. Phil, would you talk to Frank?
Frank Gray is with us. Frank, how you doing?
Well, I'm better than Custer, young man, but I have to, and I'm sorry that I have to come on your program and tell you this, but when you said that he was 78, you're talking about Belinda Wardman, who was the belly dancer in Nude, Nude, Nude. Is that it?
No. Dr. Sex.
No, I know Dr. Sex. I know that film, but Nude, Nude, Evermore Nude, I think was, you know that one, Margaret?
Well, that was that also had Belinda in it, but yes, Nude, Nude, Evermore Nude.
Oh, all right, so he was in that?
Yes, she was. She was in that film.
All right, well, that's what I'm saying. So, yeah, see, and here's the thing which you do. You said, Phil, that he is now 78. And it ruined everything for me because I was listening to the show and I was imagining the dance scene in Nude, 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 Forevermore Nude. And
okay, what's the name of the movie?
I just got done telling you.
Yeah, but Frank, it's called, Phil. It's three. Nude, 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 Evermore Nude.
So there's four nudes.
No, there's not four nudes. They've got about 100 nudes.
No, there's four nude words.
What is she talking about?
I'll handle it, Frank. Yes, you're right. Nude, nude, evermore nude.
No, forevermore nude. God, do I have to... I'm in a bad enough mood. Do I have to smack you when you come through the door tonight?
Frank, you know that if you ever raised your hand to me, you and John Henry would be the two oldest geldings on Earth. Thank you.
Are you going to the bathroom?
Yes, I am. That's what I always do when I make a really good point.
Yeah, when you mess a good point.
Did he just hit Dickman?
Yes, she did.
Well, tell her that I'm sorry, will you?
That's okay.
All right. Anyway, Phil, Doris, whatever the hell his name was a great dancer, had a great pair. You're absolutely right. I don't mean to be crude. And I got so excited when I heard you talking about this one dance scene there in Dr. Goldfarb, or what's the name of the movie?
Dr. Sex. Why don't you know the name of these films?
Oh, well, get a load of you. I don't collect them, okay? Dr. Sex, so...
Well, I know, but, we're talking about this dance. You seem to know the dancer.
I do know the dancer, and I was fantasizing about him. I was thinking about him with those large breasts and the way he was shaking his ass and the way he, with his blonde hair and his beautiful, cute lips, and I just imagined myself walking up to him and pulling his pants down. What's the matter? Your cat got your tongue?
No, not at all. So then what? So, all right, so how did I ruin it for you?
Well, I'm imagining you're building a word picture, and I'm getting thrilled beyond any normal confines. And then you go, and he's 78, and I almost wanted to regurgitate. I wanted to have an orgasm out of my mouth, okay? That's how I felt about that. So I wish in the future, if you're going to talk about one of the great nudie cuties, like Doris Beaverton or Wishbone Sanders. And
who is he?
No, it's not a she. It's a he.
All right, who is she?
Well, he, Wishbone Sanders, you didn't know who he was?
No. Who is she?
He was the greatest fan dancer of the mid-60s. Now, he would strip down, and then he'd have the fans, I forget.
All right, well, thank you very much, Frank.
Wait a minute, you're not going to...
Let's take a break.
What are you laughing about? That's tragic, the way Mr. Gray sounds like he doesn't know where he is.
My husband is fine. I will not have this discussion behind his back. Yes, he's having a difficult time some nights. He was... You know what he was doing?
Yeah, I have a sneaking suspicion, and I messed it up for him when I said she was 78.
Well, I think that was a little cruel.
We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Henry Show. We got other stories to get to here tonight before we take a flying Finienza off the air. One of the actors in the Charlie Brown Peanuts television special has been jailed for threatening his former girlfriend and stalking her plastic surgeon. Wait till you hear this story. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And we do encourage you to join us with a backstage pass to philhenryshow.com and be a part of our BSP family. And you'll get this month, as part of our Customer Appreciation Month, you'll get free downloads with your subscription. One of the other things is we've got great customer service. We have fantastic customer service, in fact. And when you email us at customer service, you'll get your problem taken care of. Asking me about it on Facebook, you're more than welcome to. But I'm not the guy, because I don't know how to deal with those problems. That's not my area of expertise. I know, like, if people will say, hey, Phil, I'm having a hard time picking the stream up on my iPhone. And I'll say, well, I'm getting it fine, and we haven't had any other complaints. So if you contact our service guys, they will always tell you how to fix it,
Well, why can't you do that?
I can do that. But what if that's not really even the right... I can say contact our service guys, but a lot of people will say, well, I'm talking to you.
Yeah, they think, well, you ought to have an answer on account of it's your website.
I don't have the answer, man. I'm not a technical guy. That's the way there's a place where you go for those answers. You understand?
Uh-uh.
What?
Phil, you're the owner of the company.
I don't care if I'm the owner of the company. Look, there are guys that own football teams that don't know their ass from a hole in the ground about football, okay?
Well, I think that's a little cruel.
Well, I don't care. It's true, too. All I'm saying is that there is a there is a process you can go through that is very, very helpful to you. It is our service email address. It's service@philhendryshow.com, and you can contact our tech support and all the other customer service, and they're fantastic, I'm telling you. And they help answer these problems right away. So generally, I think the service guys are around in the morning. We can't help you right then and there. If you're saying at 4 o'clock in the morning, hey, what's wrong with this? We'll get to you, you know, when, you know, in the morning hours when we go to work. But I can tell you this much, they're terrific. Asking me, though, it may be the biggest mistake you ever make. Cue applause.
Yay. Thank you for your honesty, Mr. Henry.
Cut. Charlie Brown, voice actor to serve sentence in rehab. All right, Margaret, this is your story, and you know this one.
Well, I do, Phil. Peter Robbins, the original voice of the Peanuts character Charlie Brown, has been representing that character for a long time. He was at the Comic-Con in San Diego and has been, I think, for a number of years. I think he was there in 2008. I know you did the Comic-Con, did you not?
I did, yeah.
Anyway, I didn't want to... Don't give a speech. You did the Comic-Con, right?
Yes, I did.
That's all you... the man who was the original voice of Charlie Brown in Peanuts, which is the French. I know it irritates Phil, but I like to do it good. And so I'll say that again in case you are... If you're a teacher... can you move it along, please? Sorry. But if you are a teacher... the man who was the original voice of Charlie Brown in Peanut. Excuse me. What's he doing? He's talking to me, not to you. He's doing it on... Just go on. If he's saying I'm doing something wrong, I will have none of it.
Margaret.
All right. The man who was the original voice of Charlie Brown in Peanut, the Peanut television specials, was sentenced Wednesday to a year in jail for threatening his former girlfriend and stalking her plastic surgeon, and then was immediately released to a residential drug treatment center. So that's a full day. That's a very full day. You stalk your former you threaten your former girlfriend, you stalk her plastic surgeon, you're released into a residential drug treatment center. I'd say that's a full day. A judge warned Peter Robbins. Isn't that a benign name, Peter Robbins? It sounds so benign. A judge warned... Peter Robbins was his name. I want to sing it, you know.
Well, that's what you do very well, Margaret.
Thank you, Phil. I do. I wish I had the song by Login and Messina. And isn't that an interesting name to have? It was so... it foretold a different time, didn't it, Phil?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Never mind.
What did you say, Margaret? I'm sorry.
Login...
What about Login?
Am I looking at you and talking to you? I'm talking to him.
What about Login?
Login and Messina.
Loggins and Messina?
No, no, no. I said Login and Messina.
That you supposed to do?
I'm going to kill him.
Bud, just be quiet. Hold on. I'm sorry. I have a tickle. What?
Never mind, Phil. I don't want to...
You're saying the guy's name is Login and that's somehow significant?
What do you do to get onto a computer?
You log in.
And you're not blown away by that?
No, I'm not blown away by the fact that there was a guy named Loggins and there was another guy named Messina.
Messina's got nothing to do with it. Unless you want to credit him with hot Messina or hot...
Sounds like semen, but...
All right, we're out of this. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show. You know, you got a vulgar mouth. You're stupid as hell.
Talking to me?
Yes, I am. And him, too.
Phil Hendry.
World famous Bill Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And more metal news, and this having to do with the band As I Lay Dying. The lead singer of the band As I Lay Dying, arrested by California authorities in a murder-for-hire plot. A murder-for-hire to kill his wife, his estranged wife. The lead singer of Grammy-nominated heavy metal band As I Lay Dying was arrested Tuesday in SoCal, as some people call it, or SoCal, right, Margaret?
There's no yes, SoCal or Cali.
Yeah, you know that whole Cali thing? It makes me want to regurgitate, which is a whole new word.
What's that mean?
Regurgitate and masturbate. So in other words,
you want to masturbate and throw up?
Yes. No, what I'm saying is that Cali thing, I have refused to call California Cali because it sounds, dare I say the word, gay.
Hey.
All right, enough. Tim Lambesis, age 32, was arrested at a retail business in Oceanside in San Diego County, according to the San Diego County Sheriff's Office. The statement said detectives received information Thursday that Lambesis had solicited someone to kill his wife, who lives in nearby Encinitas. A task force from several law enforcement agencies quickly launched an investigation that led to the arrest. The department would give no further details on the investigation. As I Lay Dying, formed in San Diego in 2000, has released six albums, including 2007's An Ocean Between Us, which reached number 8 on Billboard's charts. A track from the album was nominated for a Grammy for Top Metal Performance. The band's latest Metro Detroit show was a December set. They're talking about Detroit because this is from a Detroit paper or a Detroit news source. What is this?
Detroit Free Press.
The Detroit Freak Press, yes.
No, the Detroit Free Press.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, the Detroit Free Press. I don't know.
Detroit Free Press? What do you mean you don't know? Detroit Free Press.
Yeah, that's...
It doesn't sound right.
What does it say there?
Detroit Free Press.
Okay. What's the name of the newspaper?
That we don't know.
Am I losing my mind?
Well, no. What they're saying is this. There's something wrong with that.
Yeah.
What's wrong with it?
It doesn't seem right.
Somebody's going to answer me straight, or I'm going to kick all three of you out of here.
We're joking with you, okay? Mr. Giggles, what a jackass.
You're kidding.
Yeah, we're just kidding with you, and you're all threatening us.
Take it easy, man. I mean, you know, you got to relax, man.
All I said to the guys, let's pretend like we don't know why it's called the Detroit Free Press and watch Phil have the runs.
Yeah, she said you'd Hershey squirt it up. So anyway.
You shut up.
You hit Bud.
Yes, I did. The Hershey squirts.
That's what she said.
I thought it would be funny to watch you just go, ooh. See, I knew you'd laugh.
Yeah, and if we played that joke on you, you wouldn't be laughing, though, I'll tell you that much. In any event, the statement said detectives received information on Thursday that Lambesis had solicited someone to kill his wife who lives in nearby Encinitas. A task force from several law enforcement agencies quickly launched investigation. As I Lay Dying, formed in San Diego while they laid there dying, and has released six albums, including 2007's An Ocean Between Us, which reached number 8 on Billboard's charts, and I already read that part. The band's latest Metro Detroit show, and I already read that. It was not clear whether Lambesis had hired an attorney, and a phone message seeking comment left at a number listed in his name was not immediately returned, but then we didn't think it would be because that was kind of a stupid number to call, knowing that the guy, the last thing he wants to do is talk to our asses. According to its website, the band is scheduled to tour the country, yeah, fat chance, with several other metal acts, although all they got to do is hire a new singer.
Yes, that's, you know, big deal.
Yeah, that's kind of cruel.
I'm sorry, Bud, but that's show business, man. The show must go on, and if the singer can't make the gig, then he's out of a job.
Wait a minute, but ain't he the leader of the band?
I don't know. I don't know whether he's the leader of the band, but I guarantee you this. You think the band's going to give up making money because Jack Ball here pulled a harebrained stunt like trying to kill his ex-wife? I don't think so. According to its website, the band is scheduled to tour the country with several other metal acts later this month, including a planned July show at Pontiac's Crowfoot for openers Killswitch Engage. Crowfoot spokesman said the venue is waiting to learn whether As I Lay Dying will still appear. I think they will. I think you can take that to the bank, although it depends on the contract they have, right?
Well, if they have a deal with the individual members of the band, that if any one member is unable to perform, then the entire band may not go on stage. I mean, I'm sure at some point they put together some sort of an agreement like that, but I don't know. I don't know the habits of these men. They don't look like people that I would want to engage in any business transaction. They look dangerous. They look misogynistic. They look violent. They look resentful. I'm looking into the eyes of this singer. He looks as if his tongue is... In other words, he may have a mental disability because he has one of those swollen tongues.
What does that mean?
No.
You don't know about that.
No. Are you going to start telling me some other kind of spooky story here?
No, I'm not. How dare you accuse me? Do you see the stupid look on his face as if there's a disability going on? The tip-off is the big, fat, swollen tongue.
Yeah, well, Margaret's right, because my cousin had a problem. He would talk like that, and I go, open up your mouth, Eddie, and I'd see this big tongue.
You'd say, open up your mouth, Eddie.
Yeah, because I wanted to see.
So I'm looking at this singer, this lambasis, and he looks like he's stalking about the stage like Frankenstein almost, just, durr. And there he is. Look at the tongue. See, right there. See that?
Yeah, now I see it, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's say that he was stalking about the stage.
God, that took long enough.
Yeah, with the dramatic pause.
Because I'm blown away by some of the stuff I'm hearing tonight. Let's say he was stalking about the stage. And let's say he has all these problems. What is it with you bringing it up and making a big thing out of it?
Well, Phil, you asked me what I thought of the band, and I'm looking at this man, and he looks like he hates everything that walks and crawls, all right? As I did at one time. But I got over it.
What do you mean you did?
Yeah, what does that mean?
There was a point in my life where I hated everything that walked or crawled, and I would kill anything. I didn't kill anyone or kill anything, but there was a period.
Well, when was that?
Well, I think you know. It was right after Linda Evans... she aced me for the Big Valley gig.
Yeah, that Big Valley show, Miss Gray. I watched that show, Miss Gray.
Yeah, Gray's my name, all right. Say it again and I'll tell you the same.
Okay, Miss Gray?
Yeah, Gray's my name. Say it again, I'll tell you.
Come on, can we move along here?
Well, I mean, you're trying to tell me, was that after the Linda Evans Big Valley, you want to kill everything or walk and crawl?
I did. After I found out that I did not get the Big Valley gig, again, I wanted to kill anything that walked or crawled.
That's about everything.
Yes, so it is.
Yeah, you was really disappointed, wasn't you?
Yes, I was disappointed, wasn't I? Jesus.
How about Linda Evans?
What about her?
Did you want to kill her?
Of course I didn't. It's figurative. Everything that walks or crawls means a level of people, not Hollywood. You're not going to go there. Anyone that lived east of City Hall.
Oh, I see, because the real estate value's down there.
No, I'm not about to kill anyone that lives west of La Cienega. Are you out of your mind?
All right, well, thank you very much, Margaret, for that. So we find out that you had, you can certainly identify with the singer of As I Lay Dying because you wanted to kill everything that walked or crawled at one time in your life. I can't imagine.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Who are these guys with the red berets?
Those are the Guardian Angels, and they're there welcoming home these girls that have, welcome home, Gina. Yeah, they're welcoming home the girls that were abducted. And I believe that's the father of one of them.
Well, he's acting like he just won the Irish sweepstakes. Well, who is he?
That's the father. He's happy to see his daughter. What do you want me to tell you? There's balloons. There's,
That probably got ice cream, too.
They probably have ice cream. There's balloons. There's ice cream.
What about, like, a cake?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably a cake. There's balloons. There's ice cream. There's a cake.
Probably have dancers.
Did they have dancers?
Yeah, they probably had dancers. So you got balloons, ice cream, a cake, and dancers. And what are you talking about, you know?
I just wonder what that's a celebration, a man's pumping his fist.
Do you suppose they had any kind of rides? Did they have a merry-go-round or an octopus?
Maybe. I mean, somebody, you know.
So that means?
Boon. They have a boon, a cream-eye. No.
You think they got a boon?
You're saying racial stuff now.
balloons, ice cream, cake, rides, a band, and dancers. Is that enough for a welcome home party? That's what they had.
Well, you don't know. We're just speculating.
We're speculating. I don't know for sure what they had, but it makes sense that they had balloons, rides, a cake, and whatever the hell it was. And I'm sorry if I said boon. I didn't mean to say that, Robert. I know that in some circles that could very well be taken as a racial slur.
That doesn't bother me.
Yeah, I don't think it is. I think boon now just means, I think that's like a girl.
No, man, it's poon.
Hey. Watch the language, will you?
No, but I think boon does mean female.
No, it doesn't.
I think it means a real hardcore female ever since this Jody Arias case.
Yeah, because there's poon and then there's boon.
There's poon and then there's boon.
Yeah.
You didn't hear that. They got the new Urban Dictionary.
The new Urban Dictionary, I don't know about this. If this, you're telling me this?
Yes. In other words, a woman that'll kill you, I hate to say this, but a woman that will kill you is a boon.
Yeah, boondang.
Instead of poontang?
Boondang.
Uh-huh.
If you people are kidding me again.
No, I swear to God, Mr. Henry.
Well, I'm out of this. If you don't want to believe me, that's fine.
Instead of poontang, it's boondang, and that's a hard-ass chick, huh?
Don't that sound hard-ass to you?
Yeah, it sounds hard-ass, but still in all, you want to tap it.
I wouldn't, you know, that's the funny thing. It sounds hard-ass, but I'd want to tap it. No, I wouldn't. Boondang? No, man, it sounds to me like some... sounds like a man-eating marsupial. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, I think it sounds tappable.
Oh, do you, bud? Well, good luck, man. Have fun. We'll be right back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, boondang. We got to that after looking at this guy from As I Lay Dying. That's a hell of a name for a band for, you know, I bet you're sorry that you named it that, buddy. Anyway, we'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth, well, you started it by saying boon.
The Phil Henry Show.
Turn the fan off here. You know, it has gotten increasingly warmer here as the months, as these months leading up to the summer months warm up. In our studio here at the El Pacifico, one of the things that you don't put in down here at the old El Pacifico is you don't put in too much air conditioning. You just don't need air conditioning. Now, why do I have here, Bud, the Jill Painter and the Kings website? I want the Brian and Jill Show.
Yeah, that's what it is.
That ain't the Brian and Jill Show. The reason why I'm bringing up the Brian and Jill Show is because I'm looking for images of the Brian and Jill Show, is because they're in the news. Well, no, they're not in the news. Brian and Jill are not in the news. The morning show in Detroit of Drew and Mike is in the news. But we were talking about long-standing rock and roll morning shows. Now, here is Brian and Jill, by the way, and I just think, these guys are, I think the world of these guys, they're the nicest people. Now, the beautiful lady there on the lower right is Jill, and you will remember her from The Love Boat. She was the daughter of Captain Steubing. And I didn't know that, you know, obviously I didn't put that together with her when I did the show. I just thought she was a very funny improvisational actress. But I'm telling you right now, man, Jill Whalen is a funny woman, and she's gorgeous as hell. And here's a better picture of her, I think, anyway. Who's this guy that they're with?
Yeah, some old guy.
Here's a nice picture of her. Jill Whalen, that's Brian on the right.
Now, that Brian, man, is he a male model or something?
He's very handsome, isn't he?
Well, he's a very attractive guy, Brian, and very tanned, and all that stuff. So, these guys, Mark and Brian, that's Brian and Jill doing their show. Mark and Brian were on the air for a long time in the Los Angeles market. I can tell you, I think it was 87, and they just knocked off here 25 years. That's a hell of a run.
How long was Rick Dees on the air?
Rick Dees was 1979 to, I'd say he was almost 30 years, 20. Well, you know what? I think Rick Dees was about 25, 27, 28 years, maybe 30 years. So you're talking about, as morning shows go, you know, Bob and, again, Ken and Bob here in Los Angeles. I'm just thinking in terms of the L.A. shows that I know. Ken and Bob were on for 20-plus years. It seems that, you know, between that 20 and 25-year mark is when you are finally kind of either pushed out the door or asked to leave. Or if you're leaving on your own terms, you say, I've had it, thank you very much. Here, take it and stick it right up your, you know. You know, like the great way that Dick Biondi was said to have quit his gig in Buffalo by nailing his shoes to the wall with a sign that's now legendary, fill these MFers.
I don't understand that.
You got to fill the shoes.
Oh.
You fill the shoes. And he was daring them to fill his shoes. And so in any event, we have this story from Detroit, and this is another morning show or another long-standing, long-term, you know, a long-time bunch of guys. The morning show there in Detroit. How did I miss it, man? Drew and Mike. And these guys were on the air at WRIF for a hell of a long time. Detroit radio lovers learned today, or I should say yesterday, which would be, yesterday's Wednesday, that Drew Lane and Mike Clark will leave the airwaves of WRIF after their May 17th edition of the show. Lane and Clark, who have hosted Drew and Mike for 22 years, alluded to news reports about their departure at the end of today's show, but said they would wait until Thursday before discussing the matter with the listeners. In the fall months, they said that they were going to be leaving, and they will be replaced by Dave Hunter and Charles Urquhart, the former hosts of the Dave and Chuck the Freak morning show on CIMX FM 88.7.
Wait a minute.
What?
First of all, that's Canadian. Second of all, 88.7, doesn't that mean...
Yeah, that means it's a public radio.
Yes.
I don't know. 88.7? Yeah, I guess it is public radio. I don't know. Let's see. Free press calls to Hunter Lane and members of their show staffs were not returned because they don't want to talk about it because you're a pain in the ass. Last fall, Hunter and Urquhart shocked fans when they revealed on Facebook that their show is ending in the month since they signed off on November the 23rd. Speculation has swirled about where they would land, and this is where they're landing. You know, but as I said during our pre-show, there's a lot of shakeups, and that happens in the radio business. Morning shows especially are the most valuable of all shows because that's where the most number of listeners are, what we call our drive time, which is prime time in radio. Prime time in television is at night. Prime time in radio is morning and afternoon. That's when people are in their cars. That's where the ad rates go up, etc. But radio continues to do things the way it's always done things, which is... in a very sloppy and bad way. You know, they don't really know how to rate the audience, and they've got advertisers that are fleeing. And the one thing we did not get into the other night was the Rush Limbaugh story. The advertisers for Rush's show are leaving his show, but they're leaving everybody's show. What you're not hearing is the advertisers are leaving talk radio. And the reason why they're leaving talk radio is because they're sick and tired of having to deal with groups that are boycotting their asses or groups that are criticizing what they're doing or otherwise, you know, doing stuff that's blowing them away and bugging them. You know, so if you're the guy that runs the Joey Bubblegum Company and you get a phone call from somebody saying, hey, you're on the so-and-so show. If you don't, we're going to boycott Joey's Bubblegum. Well, what are you going to think?
I'd tell a guy to go straight down to the horned one.
If you're the guy that runs Joey's Bubblegum.
No, you won't, because you want Joey's Bubblegum to succeed. So you'll say to the man, yes, sir.
No, I'm not. The guy is trying to tell me what to do.
Well, you're the kind of advertiser that talk radio should have courted more of. See, the talk radio was trying to just get any old advertiser. That's why they would put Mike Huckabee on the air. That's why they would put Fred Thompson on the air. That's why they would put all these underqualified jackasses on the air and then steal money from the advertisers because these guys didn't know any better. And then finally here comes some guy that wants the boycott and these advertisers get scared and they're splitting. And now what do we have? We have no advertisers in talk radio. They're all going over to sports radio. Talk radio is essentially dead. It's dead. It's dead, Red. Okay? 22 years. 22 years. And I've never known that man to forget a number. Now all of a sudden you're trying to tell him he forgot a number? If he goes back and he checks the count and he finds that number is wrong, you is dead, Red. Dead,
dead, dead.
Malcolm X.
Exactly. World famous Phil Henry Show, produced by me and Dan Northcraft. Join us tonight at 10 o'clock, 1 o'clock Eastern for more. And let that be a lesson to you.
You are dead, 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 Red. If I check the count, how's it go?
I'll teach you later.
Phil Henry.